After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
I don't think any of the Celtic fans have left Celtic Park yet. The party atmosphere is in full swing. Ange Postecoglou and Joe Hart, the latest to be posing with the trophy. They rounded it off in some style. A 6-0 victory against Motherwell this afternoon. It was trophy day. It was goodbye to Callum McGregor and Tom Rogic. It had all the ingredients for a powerful and emotional day, and it looks like it's delivered for the Celtic fans. If you weren't there today and you've been listening to us or watching on, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Ken is in that bracket. How was that to watch, Ken?
And to be honest, it was fantastic to watch. I was welling up when I was talking to Chris on the phone. And you know, such a great game to finish with, for a great send-off for it's near beaten. And Tom Rogic, you said Callum McGregor, so it's a great send-off for them. Loved Angie's speech, and I'm really looking forward to the future under Angie, see what the future holds and see how much better we come back. And if it's much better, then everyone else should watch out.
Is it Hugh? I mean, Ken saying he was emotional, he was welling up. I don't think he'll have been alone.
No,
amongst the Celtic fans.
I looked at several people in the crowd crying, but you know, this is a day about reflection, about how far Celtic have come in a year. It's a day of celebration because, as Gordon and Mark both know, you have to celebrate your high moments because enough low moments come along thereafter. So it's a real big day for the Celtic players, the fans, Ange Postecoglou. They will party until it's dark, and then they'll go on thinking about next season. On a serious note, they've been wonderful. 32 games in a row, no defeats. Next season, they have to be mindful of Europe as well. Sign a calibre of player that will enable Celtic to be better in Europe than they have been of late. All of that is for tomorrow. Today is about a party.
I mean, Ken, how do you look back on it all now that it's, you know, it's done, it's official, the trophy's in the air, the line has been drawn under it. How would you sum up your feelings as a Celtic fan?
I mean, the way last season ended, at the start of this season, you hope for a title. You always got to hope, but you never really, didn't really expect this at the end of this season. You're not just of this, but the League Cup. And at the start, it was, we're going to have to see him again, especially losing those three games. And the players, especially Cardiff Starfelt, he just didn't feel like he was a Celtic fit, and he just grew into it, and then the belief starts to take over. And they've done it, yes!
You can hear Ken is emotional. Mark, that's what football does to you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm just looking at Callum McGregor there with the trophy, and Hugh says there's enough lows that come along. Well, Celtic were at a low point last year at Tannadice, live on the TV again, and the cameras were there to pick up the players' disappointment. And to think a season on, you see him with a trophy there, going over to the Celtic fans in the celebration. And it's just incredible how much has changed in that time. And that's what makes, you know, the supporters like Ken so emotional, because it just seemed so out of Celtic's reach to get to this moment. You know, nobody believed it. Ken's right in highlighting the start of the season, because it went with everything that was said in the summer, that it could never happen, that was never possible. With this manager, they would get nowhere near it. And then the first, you know, 6 weeks of the season came along, and that proved right. But to change it after the Livingston game and to get things rolling in the right direction took, you know, it just took a monumental effort from not only Ange Postecoglou, the coaching team in place as well, and the players.
I mean, I noticed that the most recent player, for instance, I'm just going to pick this one out because it's happening in front of us, is Anthony Ralston. Takes the trophy, goes over to the Celtic fans, raises it, the roof comes off again. Imagine a year ago saying that Celtic will win the league first of all, and Anthony Ralston will get a standing ovation at the end as he raises the league trophy. That, you know, there's so much about this, Hugh, that was impressive but unexpected.
The previous season, Anthony Ralston had played one game. Played in one game. So under Ange Postecoglou, he has been reborn as a Celtic player. There would have been people who did not remember that Anthony was still at the club, but he scored in the first league game against Hearts at Tynecastle, ended in defeat, but he made his mark on the game and he has continued to do so. One of the moments that you can recall from this season will forever be the goal against Ross County in the 97th minute in Dingwall. Anthony Ralston scoring that goal and then sparking a field invasion of the Celtic fans because they knew how important those 3 points were. Anthony Ralston stands as a story of courage. Someone who was not rated by the Celtic support, was not rated by the previous management, had only one game last season and is now a championship winner.
Ken, how do you feel about Ange Postecoglou tonight?
Oh, I mean, the guy is... There's been so many words used about the guy over the season that you kind of run out of him for him, but, you know, he's a godsend, you know. I mean, I didn't know how clear he was when he came, and, you got to love the guy.
Yeah, he's right. The way he comes across in the media, and Daz is his best pal for years gone by, so he's the only one that knew.
I've never seen him so emotional. I've got to say, he's got to take enormous credit. He came in under a lot of pressure, no staff. He's turned this into a very good football side, good to watch, easy on the eye. 6 goals today, over a piece of the season, 92 goals, lost 22. The job he's done with the players at his disposal in 1 year, you've got to take your hat off to him and say it's been incredible.
I mean, Andrew McLean, it's not clearing up anytime soon.
No, normally when these celebrations go on and a team does a sort of lap round the pitch, the stadium sort of empties as the team pass those bits, but pretty much everyone is still at the stadium at the moment, and a nice moment as well at the moment coming out the tunnel is the families and the friends of the players who are now on the pitch, just able to share that moment with the Celtic players after they'd gone round and greeted all 4 stands here at Celtic Park and lifted the trophy to give everyone in the stadium their own moment to celebrate. But that's going on at the moment. There's the selfies with the family and friends, the hugs, the embraces at the moment. And certainly when these celebrations go on, I think these Celtic fans will also take time to think of some of the people who can't be here today and who will certainly do a better job than me of summing it up. But people that, you know, legends that have been lost by Celtic this season, the likes of Joseph Venglos, Wim Jansen and Bertie Auld, who passed this season, can't share this moment, but many Celtic fans will be thinking of them tonight as well.
Well, in his speech to the crowd, Ange Postecoglou mentioned how he and his family had been embraced by Celtic. He has embraced Celtic Football Club, and he has clearly fallen in love with everything about the club, about the fans, and about the people he works with. And Andrew's 100% correct that moments like this, there will always be people in the crowd who will remember Wim Jansen, who won the title that prevented Rangers from getting 10 in a row. Ange Postecoglou picked up the pieces of a football club who had lost the chance to get 10 in a row. And he has, in the space of a year, made everything right again. He's got his 2 boys out there in the park wearing Celtic strips. He's got his wife. It's a lovely family shot. The 2 boys look extremely ecstatic about the whole thing themselves. And Mrs. Postecoglou, I'm sure, has been taken aback because this is not the Japanese way of doing things, and that's where they have lived for a couple of years. But Ange Postecoglou tonight, Celtic folk hero.
You very rarely stop to think about the human side of it, Hugh. Yeah. It is a man, forget about the football manager, it's a man who had to uproot his family, move from the other side of the world into an environment, by the way, that everyone was telling him he was going to fail. Yeah. The other people were telling him they'd never heard of him. He was second choice for the job. Yeah. So, you know, you wouldn't grudge him being fairly satisfied this afternoon.
What Peter Lawwell said after he had spoken to Ange Postecoglou in the wake of Eddie Howe having turned down the job, Peter Lawwell said, "I've met a man who has the courage of his convictions." And the courage of his convictions meant that Ange Postecoglou overcame the fact that he was in another continent. He was taking up the reins at a club that had fallen apart, and he was dealing with people behind the scenes like John Kennedy and Gavin Strachan that he did not know. He has brought it all together and won the title. Only a man who has absolute courage in his own convictions can do that.
I mean, Andrew McLean, he was in Japan before this, so this has been a hectic period going from there to here and trying to get it all sorted. He might be from Australia, but he's been on the move trying to make things happen for Celtic.
Yeah, Ange Postecoglou was saying after the game on Wednesday night, he hasn't been in Australia for over 2 years with everything that's been going on. He hasn't been home. And there was a look of relief on his face when someone had mentioned that there was only one game to go, because he's deserved that rest, Ange Postecoglou, and he says he's looking forward to just being able to go home, relax for a bit. I know he says they never stop. He may stop for a couple of days, but the life of a football manager, there's always something happening, and the planning for next season will have already started, and I'm sure when he wakes up tomorrow morning there'll already be things on the move to try and plan for those Champions League group stages, to try and plan for pre-season. But Ange Postecoglou and some of these players as well, look at the likes of Dyson Maeda, you've got Kyogo in there as well, guys who had played full seasons over the course of 2021, who have played full seasons and then continued that on until this summer. So it has been a tireless period, a tireless year, 2 years for Ange Postecoglou and some of these players. So I think they'll enjoy being able to have these celebrations at the moment, but be able to sit down, reflect, spend some time with their families, spend some time with their friends before the chaos commences next season again.
It's going to be an incredible afternoon, as you can hear. The GBX is on here from 6, by the way, but I think it started already at Celtic Park. And by you remember last night we were auctioning off tickets for a £5 donation to Cash for Kids. Xander Urquhart from Airdrie won the two tickets. He was delighted because he had left his ticket for the game in his wallet, then lost his wallet.
Oh.
And we managed to replace the tickets. So there we go. We raised some good funds for Cash for Kids as well. Every penny going towards helping children who need it most on our patch right here in Glasgow and the West. So it was a win-win. Well done to Xander. Hopefully he's enjoying his day.
Well, they've got the Hooli music on now at Celtic Park, if my old ears do not deceive me. So they'll take a while to leave.
Kyogo seems to enjoy that sort of music, doesn't he?
He's
yeah, he's certainly embraced that side of the city.
Thank you, Ken. 0141 951 1025. The open line is here. Celtic fans, sum up your joy this afternoon. Rangers fans, of course, you've got joy of a different kind, and it's all heading towards Seville on Wednesday after a good result at Tynecastle. You can pick up the phone as well, and anyone else out there, now is your time. 0141 951 1025, and we'll speak to you next.
The games are over, the talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
And just like that, the top half of the Scottish Premiership is done. That is the season over for the top six in our Premiership. It's been quite the season. Celtic are the champions, and they've been handed the trophy in an emotional afternoon at Celtic Park. Happiness, of course, at lifting the trophy. Sadness at seeing Tom Rogic leave. Some people moved by the words of Ange Postecoglou, and quite a lot to take in. But we're here until 4 o'clock, so there's lots of time for you to get in touch on the phones. 0141 951 1025. Laurie is a Celtic fan from Denison, and he is on the line. Sum up your emotions today, Laurie.
Exhilaration, ecstasy, euphoria, anything else, any other superlative you want to use, but also a bit of humility on my part, because I was one of the callers way back in August who came on the programme and expressed serious misgivings, doubts and reservations about Ange Postecoglou. I thought his style of play was unsustainable. I thought there was going to be a burnout. I thought it was naive. And I am pleased today to say, Ange, you have proven me spectacularly wrong.
Oh, that's all the endorsement he'll need, Hugh Keevans. Forget the Manager of the Month awards, forget the title. He's got Laurie on here eating humble pie.
Laurie doesn't need to take the burden on his shoulders. You can fill Celtic Park with those who were sceptical when Ange Postecoglou's name was mentioned as the next Celtic manager. So, Laurie, he has taken everyone by surprise. After 6 games, 3 defeats. After 38 games, a 32-game run without a defeat. That's why Celtic won the title. It's not about what other teams did or did not do. If you go 32 games without losing, if you refuse to lose, you become champion, Laurie.
Absolutely, Hugh. Yep.
What's impressed you the most, Laurie? I mean, I get the unexpected nature of it is probably what's underpinned the full thing, but is there anything else that's impressed you the most?
It's just the positivity of the squad throughout. You could sense that there was an intrinsic belief of the players in what Ange Postecoglou was looking for them to do. And he never wavered in his philosophy. Came unstuck. I think it's the most marvellous achievement managerially for a debutant season at Celtic since the man I'm looking at in the screen just now, Martin O'Neill, achieved when he was asked to stop the Rangers cash cow and juggernaut that was under David Murray and Dick Advocaat at the time. And I think he had a similar mountain to climb. I think the previous season, that team he inherited had finished over 20 points behind. But I think even Big Ange is maybe even more impressive because he inherited a team that was in total disarray, 12 departures, 12 arrivals. Never for a minute did I think we were going to be genuine contenders for the title. I thought it was going to be a season of transition. And I thought that any likelihood of silver would was a very remote possibility.
The comparison I would draw, Laurie, would be with Wim Jansen. When Wim Jansen came in, again, people thought, what are they doing? And ironically, he came in from Japan as well. And Rangers had their 9 in a row and were going for 10. Celtic then proceeded to lose their first 2 games. And people wanted Wim Jansen out there and then. But Wim Jansen held his nerve, and Murdo McLeod was there to guide him every step of the way. And what Wim Jansen achieved in that season was quite remarkable. Ange Postecoglou had the other side of the coin. Celtic had lost the chance to get 10 in a row. The club had fallen into disarray and disrepair. And Ange Postecoglou turned that chaos into triumph. So for me, the direct comparison I would make would be Wim Jansen to Ange Postecoglou.
Consistency is something that Laurie alludes to, Gordon. But that actually covers a lot of ground in this occasion. Consistency of result, obviously. That's how you win the league, and you look at the unbeaten run. Consistency of performance, mostly. Consistency, though, even in the ways, as Laurie said, the way he set up the team, the tactics, he's never wavered. Consistency in his messaging, it's always been very clear to the players and then to the media. Consistency in the way that he's handled himself. A long season, have we heard Ange Postecoglou really get caught up in much of our madness? You know what we're like, we'll obsess about marginal offsides and refereeing decisions and some of the politics that can go along with Scottish football. He's consistently stayed away from that. He's done it his way and it's worked.
He's handled it brilliant. You can't be negative with him. He's come into this country under severe pressure because everybody was waiting for him to fail. Everybody was waiting to have him out by Christmas. I don't blame Celtic fans, Gordon, because after the year that Rangers had and then trying to win back the league, having a look at all the players that left, they were thinking we need a safe pair of hands. The people that got to take a lot of credit and we don't hear is the fact that whoever went out and identified this guy and convinced him to come to Celtic, and he's just taken that on, and he's signings, he's made players better, he's handled the press great, he's won the love of the fans, he's won a double, which nobody could believe. And the one thing I liked about him, out of everything that you can pat him the back for, is I thought his emotion today and the other night at Tannadice shows what kind of man he is.
I think winning the league's the most important thing, Mark. Maybe it's just me who's obsessing a bit more about words and so on. You know, that's not the priority, but it's nice to have that. It's nice to have the full package. That's why the fans like him so much. And even his speech there at the end, he's got this knack of saying absolutely the right thing for the Celtic fans, but in a very casual little, this just came to me way.
Yeah, his sign-off line looked like it came just upon him, but I bet you had that rehearsed, and it's a good message to put across. But you're right, Gordon, I think his very first press conference was key. How he sat down was going to be key to how the Celtic supporters reacted to him right away. And he's so easy with the media side that it becomes natural for him. Everything he says is in a positive way. You're right about, you know, I can't remember many times that he's blamed referees or anything like that when Celtic have had poor performances or poor decisions go against them, and that's quite likeable. I think you see that reflected throughout the other teams in the league and their supporters. You know, even some Rangers supporters say he looks like, you know, a good guy and he gets the message across right. That is unique, especially in this city. So, you know, he's ticked a lot of boxes this year, but he's got another huge challenge on to even better what he's done this year. And I said moments ago that he's not one that looks like he'll sit and rest for 2 weeks before getting to the job in hand. I think he'll be right at it in the next few days. That's the kind of character he seems to be.
Let's speak to John. Thank you, Laurie, for your call. John's in Bishop Briggs. Sum up your day today, John.
Oh, it's been brilliant. It's just starting. It's a long way to go if it finishes. As I phoned up during the week, and I says, obviously, that was a starter just on Wednesday, and this is the day up today because it's sweet. I was at Brendan Rodgers once he'd done the Invincible Treble as at that title that day, and compared to see that to the day, it's 10 times different. There's something in there. There's a buzz in there. And obviously, what a Joe Bans Sports Chicago has done. And we'll hear us today. Rangers will hear us today. Their celebrations. And honestly, I'm a bit emotional now. And Duncan, my body's buzzing, honestly. What a day. And it's just starting.
I mean, Hugh, the comparisons to Brendan Rodgers, I don't think we have to sit and analyse whether, you know, he's better or worse or whatever. You know, that can be done in time, but uh-huh. But the impact on the Celtic fans, that sort of thing that you can't measure,
yeah,
is got to be comparable. It's there.
If you can endear yourself to the fans while building a team from scratch, then you have all the tools in the box. Ange Postecoglou will go on from here. Very interesting to see the kind of transfer window that he has, but today, in isolation, he enters Celtic folklore, the fans party until midnight and probably beyond. And then tomorrow, I think Ange Postecoglou has to take a break. I think the guy has worked himself into the ground. So after a suitable period of time, he will then come out and Celtic have the luxury of not having to play Champions League qualifiers.
But when does he take a break, you? You know, there's football right now. Football nowadays, there's very little time to that bunch of players will be back at Lennox Town. And we all know the manager has to start way before the players get back. So I get what you're saying. He must need a rest because the weight that he's carried on his shoulders this year has been huge. But
now he's got help. Now he's got Mark Lawwell, director of recruitment, and they know each other and they can work together. The man. I'm not a doctor. That's the Dazzler's department.
I'm with you, Hugh.
He needs a break.
I totally agree. I think the caravan and Strother will come in handy for him. But he definitely needs to get away, whether it's for a week or so, recharge the batteries.
What's happened to the show? What are we doing here? Giving Ange Postecoglou lifestyle advice. What just happened?
Get Andrew to ask him if he's interested in the
Kevin's caravan. John, enjoy your night. Please drink responsibly, John, and everyone else. Please do that if you can. 01419511025. More of your calls coming up. Celtic fans, how are you feeling? Rangers fans, this must be the oddest of trophy days where you don't lift the trophy, but I'd imagine you're pretty excited about the week coming up. So pick up the phone and talk to us. We'll speak to you next.
After they play, you have your say. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025 or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. I think fans are starting to leave Celtic Park about an hour after the game finishes. We'll hopefully hear from Ange Postecoglou, but we'll definitely hear from more of you. So pick up the phone and talk to us. Rangers fans, keen to get your thoughts today as well, ahead of Wednesday evening. Let's start with Brian, who's a Celtic fan. How are you feeling today, Brian?
Just champion. Absolutely champion. I mean, listen, guys. I mean, see, we've heard those superlatives from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, how things have changed. I said earlier in this...
Oh, I've lost Brian. I want to know what he said. Left his hang in there earlier in the season.
He must have said something that was really wise. If you quote yourself, you must have said something really wise.
Yeah, he's feeling champion, Hugh. That just about sums it up for a lot of Celtic fans.
That's the way everyone will feel. I can only imagine what's going on around Celtic Park right now and into the town centre. All over the country, in fact. It's a lovely day. I'm wondering why I brought a brolly into work with me as I look out.
I didn't see that, by the way. When I went out there, I saw that you had an umbrella and I thought, he must be using it for shade.
It was a rain market, confused me.
I took caution to new heights. But anyway, the fans will lap it up in the sunshine. And Ange Postecoglou gave them a present, and the best presents are always the ones that have come as a total surprise to you. And unless Brian's about to tell us that he knew on day one of the season that Celtic would win the title, it must have come as a surprise to Brian as well.
We've got him back. We lost you, Brian, when you said, "I said earlier in the season," and then it cut off.
Right, okay. I've said earlier in the season that I expect to win the league every year. Every year. I expect us to win the league every year because of the resources we've got, because our efforts for winning, because it is just in our DNA to be. My thought at the beginning of the year is, how can we win the league? How can this happen? Now, bearing in mind the state that we were in at the end of last season, and in fact, all the way through season, going for the 10 and all that, we didn't seem to get off the mark at all. But we'd been nine titles in a row before that, and we've always pushed for the titles. So for to say this is a miracle, Hugh, I took umbrage to that. But today I take no umbrage at all. I'm looking at a football team that is in its infancy, and it's won the league, not a canter as it's won in some seasons, but if you can imagine with the resources we're going to pick up, and Ange Postecoglou has not even got himself off the starting block. He's champion of Scotland in his first season. He put a marker down when we won the League Cup. We lost narrowly to Rangers in the Scottish Cup. We didn't do well in Europe. But again, that transitional period, that whole rebuilding situation, should not have seen us champions. It should have seen us building with a view to next year. To build now, Celtic fans are expecting something in Europe, because this man seems to have a bit of Midas touch. This man seems to have the Celtic way of playing football, a hard, fast, triangular, get forward, get the goals. Today was an epitome of what I expect for Celtic, regardless of the seasons, regardless of whatever's going on. That is the kind of football that you pay for to go and watch. That's the kind of football we want to watch.
Well, I don't know why you're taking umbrage then, because
I think you'd be saying you took umbrage earlier in the season, I think, was the point.
The vast majority of Celtic fans, I'm standing beside a former Celtic player who said at the start of the season he could never have imagined that the title would be won. That's why, as I say, the best presents are the ones that are a surprise. And after 6 games, you were entitled to be sceptical. After 38 games and a 32-game run with no defeats, you're entitled to understand what won Celtic the title. It was unbelievable consistency.
I mean, I get all that, Mark. I get, you know, why Celtic and Rangers fans try and have this unwavering faith in their team, because that's who we are and it's in our DNA. And I know that it sounds good and it sounds dramatic, but, you know, it wasn't in Celtic's DNA last season when they lost the league. That's quite obvious. So by saying, you know, we just expect to win the league, it almost diminishes what's happened here, because the whole success of it is the unexpected nature.
Yeah, well, there's got to be a bit of realism at the start of every season. I get that supporters expect their team to win the league, especially Celtic and Rangers, because that's what they've been brought up with. Some young Celtic fans have been spoiled, let's be honest, over the last 11 years in terms of what they've witnessed. So I get that they expect it, but when you see everything that went on at Celtic at the tail end of last year, and you see everything that went on at Rangers when, you know, it was the opposite, where they were celebrating, the squad stayed together. I mean, you've got to realistically look at it and think it would have taken an almighty effort to overturn that. And, you know, to witness that happening, it was just incredible. So, Now, I get that fans back their team, they've got blind loyalty, but they must have at the start of the season thought that this was out of even Ange Postecoglou's reach.
Yeah, I think at the start of the season, I don't think anyone's seen the season unfolding the way it did, Gordon. You know, Brian's right there. He put down a marker early with the League Cup, and you're thinking, right, okay. And I think the style of football has been excellent. Some of the games you've watched, you're thinking, yes, good attractive football, scoring plenty of goals, 92 over a campaign, only losing 22. They've been exceptional. His transfer windows have all been a success. Everyone's played their part. But it's just been a remarkable year for Postecoglou. And I think, like everyone else, he's now learnt about the year in Scotland. He'll know better, he'll educate himself again, he'll move on, and he'll be looking at Europe next year.
Well, here's the thing. Sunday the 26th of September, Celtic 1, Dundee United 1. Do you remember it? I'm going to play you what Ange Postecoglou had to say at full time that day.
I know people are wanting to push me on some kind of edge of the ledge somewhere. It's just not going to happen. I mean, I don't worry about those things. I look at how my team's playing and what we're trying to create, and you know, I know it frustrates people because I know they want me to say that. I don't know what they want me to say, to be honest, but I know what the club's about. I know what the expectations are, and I believe the road we've started on will get us there, so we'll just keep going. It's a weird league. You call things early here, don't you? I mean, it's quite remarkable that, what are we, seven games in and people are calling the title already. I mean, it's not just how I work. And, you know, we're not pulling up stumps after seven games just because other people seem to think that there's some sort of insurmountable challenge out there for us. If we weren't playing well, and we were struggling through things, and by all means, I'd be looking at things a lot differently. But with the efforts we're putting in at the moment, and the football we're playing, and the chances we're creating, and what we've got to come back into the team, I just see it totally differently.
A very insightful reminder of how it was. I go back to Peter Lawwell's quote after speaking to Ange Postecoglou. He said, "This is a man with the courage of his convictions." With 31 games stretching ahead of him, but Celtic not having managed to win any more than three of their first seven, it didn't look the way it looks today. So he was a man, he is a man with the courage of his convictions, and that courage has seen him through.
You have to take your hat off to that, Mark Wilson, because it's easy for people to turn around today and say, ah, look at you, you know, you're all scoffing back then and you got it wrong back then. But anyone can do that, and most people were, even Celtic fans, you know, thinking the league was unlikely. But for him to say that in September, He was saying at the time, you're all overreacting. He's not saying it now. In hindsight, he was saying it at the time, and you can't argue.
It's pretty impressive stuff when you hear that, because you quite often forget about moments like that where the manager, you know, has to deal with all that pressure on his shoulders, and he's the one that has to come out and face the media. You know, the players get guarded quite often by the manager. So as disappointing a result that was at the time, and Celtic fans might have thought it was all crumbling in again and all, and he stood firm, and he was right. He totally believes in what he has to say. Sometimes managers come out and say things for effect and just to maybe gloss over things, paper over the cracks. He actually believed at that point what he was saying, and it's proved true. That's the impressive thing about the whole season.
I've got to say, listening to his interview there, going, I was very disappointed in him. He said that after seven games, we call it in July. He has to learn that. I've liked everything this guy's achieved and done since he came in. He's handled it brilliant. He's not get carried away. He's not get caught up in everything. He's just, I keep going back to saying, he looks a manager in control of a football club.
Let's go to the phones again. We'll bring in Chris, who is a Rangers fan from Dumbarton. This must be a strange day, Chris, where your rivals get the trophy, but you're actually in a great headspace regarding your team.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. Absolutely. It's really weird. I mean, clearly our game today is playing second fiddle for obvious reasons, and, you know, rightly so, but I think Van Bronckhorst has, you know, still been able to use today to, you know, the maximum potential for us. When I saw the team lineup come out today, I actually thought that's spot on. Not only was he thinking ahead to Wednesday, but he's clearly thinking ahead to to next Saturday as well. He's given guys like Ramsey, Arfield, Davis, Balogun, McLaughlin, all these guys minutes who probably won't start on Wednesday but could feature either as substitutions or if there's an injury. But he's also bringing in the likes of Lowry and some of the young guys who might be in the back of his mind for Saturday. And one of the most pleasing things, I think, was that despite all those changes, and you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not under the impression that that game today or that Hearts is representative of what we'll see next week, but it was still extremely comfortable, and we've been able to get a lot out of it. Whereas on the flip side for Hearts, they played a lot more of their kind of regular players, and they've actually seen injuries to a couple boys, and Haring was the other one that came off. It could be detrimental to them. So obviously, you don't wish those guys, you know, any ill effects on any footballer, but it could kind of play into our hands more. So I think, yeah, bit of a sideshow today, but I think Van Bronckhorst showed again tactical astuteness and awareness to make the most out of the situation he's been dealt at the moment.
Yeah, Gordon, it couldn't really have gone any better under the circumstances for Rangers. No one wants to lose the league, no one wants to be playing a dead rubber at the end of the season, but we all know Sevilla's there, Scottish Cup final round the corner. So today was just about, you know, getting through, and if you can do that whilst winning the game, bleeding youngsters and playing well, then the fans are going to be delighted.
I totally agree with Chris. After witnessing today's game, Gordon, I think that from Wednesday there, playing his strongest 11 that's going to probably start next week, apart from Lowry will probably not be in that starting 11, he's planning his preparation is spot on. He's got it spot on. He's thinking ahead. He's planning ahead. Yes, sometimes little things get thrown in. You maybe get a little knock and it's up until kick off or whatever. But he's got the gist of what he's doing to two massive games coming up. Biggest one on Wednesday, of course it is, and then the Scottish Cup final. But I'll tell you what he will be delighted with tonight. You go to Tynecastle, I don't care if it's the cup final next week, there's nothing really to play for. You go to Tynecastle in front of a big crowd, it's always a difficult game. It's a very tough game. It's a hard game to play in. Some of these young guys come on today, look very comfortable. Lowry got a goal, McKinnon got a goal. You know, they dominated the game after they went 1-0 down. I think the manager will be really pleased with his preparation so far leading into Wednesday night's game.
But one man who can't be pleased is Robbie Nielsen. At the back of your mind, you're thinking, the kids have just taken us apart.
Well, don't worry, we'll hear from Robbie Nielsen very soon indeed. I mean, Alex Lowry in particular, Chris, is he the one that you know, really might play a part on Wednesday, might come off the bench, might play a key role in the Scottish Cup final? How exciting a prospect is he?
Lowry's a massive prospect. I think he's already shown, you know, in the few games that we've seen him in, that he could already comfortably, you know, cut it at this level. I don't expect that he will start Wednesday, and I'm not even convinced we'd see him off the bench. But I think, you know, playing on Saturday, potentially from the start, I think he's got every possibility of doing so. He shows a lot of maturity for somebody that young. I think he's, what, only 18 still, turned 19 shortly. And he's obviously got a lot of quality, a lot of, you know, vision, good control of the ball, and, you know, good goal today, you know, to kind of drop the shoulder a bit, just kind of stick it in straight away, leave Gordon with no chance. So he's very exciting, but there's a number there. I mean, I think Leon King has looked solid as well, and Devine, when I've seen him the last kind of couple of outings, or, you know, couple of games where he's appeared, I thought he's looked strong as well. So it does look as if the, you know, we've got a number coming through to support, you know, the experience we've got and the experience that we might look to bring in the summer.
You've got to like that finish, Mark. I think he's done it before as well, where he's sort of running in his stride and there's no real backlift, and all of a sudden he's just stroked it into the bottom corner. It's a great technique to have, isn't it?
Takes a certain player to do that. We can all do that in our time, but he looks a touch of class. Just the way you can, we say it all the time in here, you can just tell with some players when they break onto the scene, the way they move with the ball, the way they receive it, the way they pass it, the way they finish, where they're actually going with their career. And he looks like a real find, and the boy King as well. So I think Rangers fans can expect to see a lot more of him next season.
Like Chris makes a great point at the start, Gordon, we're obsessed a bit with Wednesday, and you know, none of the players who started today will start on Wednesday. Everyone who'll start on Wednesday was rested. But what about next weekend? Is it outrageous to think that Alex Lowry could play a big part in a Scottish Cup final?
Absolutely no chance. And I think in today's
no chance that he'll play a big part.
No, that he, all right, he couldn't. I think on today's performance, I think the manager would have every confidence in putting him in next week. Going, I'll depend on after Wednesday night. He'll assess what's happened on Wednesday and then look towards Saturday. But I also think that if I seen Lowry in the team sheet next week, if I was a Rangers fan or concerned with it, I wouldn't have a problem. The boy's a talented, talented player. Some of the young kids played well today. They'll be in and out the squad, they'll be in and out the first team, rightly so, because Rangers have got a massive squad and a lot of players there and a lot of quality players. But it's just the timing, it's nurturing them along. You look at Lowry since he signed his contract, he's in that he's now a first team squad player, and I think he's thriving on that.
Is it as simple as that today, Chris, that we did not see any of the starters for Seville because they weren't involved? But maybe the guys like, you know, Scott Arfield and maybe Alex Lowry, maybe Steve Davis, or you know, the way that Scott Arfield was protected, you know, maybe that means he's the sort of closest of the ones that played today. Is that the way you would look at it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way I see it. I think you could make an argument for the likes of Arfield playing. I don't think he'll get the nod on Wednesday night. I'm actually lucky enough to be going and have a ticket for the match as well, so looking forward to that trip. But I don't think he'll start. I think Arfield is likely to come off the bench. I don't see Lowry coming in at all, but you could see the likes of Davis, and again, it's Ramsey. It's, you know, it's well documented. It's not really been a great spell up here. But I think, if anything, he's more likely to feature in the Scottish Cup final next Saturday. So, yeah, it was as simple as that for me. I don't think any of them will start, but a few of them could play a part, you know, either as substitutes tactically, or if, you know, there's an injury to, you know, one of our centre-backs, like, you know, Balogun could come in and, you know, easily slot in there as well.
Right, come on, quickly. You have to do it. It's compulsory. How'd you get from Dumbarton to Seville and back again?
But mine's actually not too bad. Go via Edinburgh to Gran Canaria, stay over in Gran Canaria one night. Gran Canaria to Malaga, over Malaga for one night. Malaga to Seville by train in Seville, and then the same route back. So fortunately, I've got friends in the Canary Islands to put me up a couple of nights.
Lovely. I'm happy with that. That sounds like one of the least stressful combinations that we've had. Yeah. I think Chris has got it all figured out.
I'd rather be in Dumbarton.
Always nice when you've got mates that have got a place in Gran Canaria.
Absolutely.
Just to bunk down.
I like that. He's well prepared. Yeah, he is. And we wish him all the best and safe travels.
Thank you very much to Chris. Let's hear what Giovanni Van Bronckhorst made of it today. The game, Alex Lowry, Cedric Eaton scored as well. Some other youngsters on show.
Really pleased because, as you said, we changed a lot of players for today. Also, a lot of youngsters get the chance to start and even come in. But, you know, we're still, you know, I told the players, we are wearing the shirt and we are expected to win games. And that's what we did today against a very good side. But, you know, I'm really impressed about the way we won this game. We wanted to go, keep going. And, of course, today, a lot of players didn't travel, but we had players who needed minutes to be better prepared for the last week. And also the youngsters who came in did a really, really good job to control the game in the second half like we did against a strong side. It was very good. You just have to have the confidence to keep going and to make sure you keep playing the way you did before the goal. And that's what we did. I think the goal from Alex was good. And of course, Cedric, you know, he made the 1-1 out of a set piece, and he had a big chance just before that. But, you know, also for him, he didn't play a lot. He came into the team now and he played really well. So I'm really happy with all the performances today. These young players are working hard in the academy, and with all the help of our coaches to be able to give them game time in this moment is good. And I think they play really well. I just told them to enjoy, don't be afraid to make mistakes, and just go out and enjoy, and that's what they did.
So that's what Giovanni Van Bronckhorst makes of it. Rangers fans, what did you make of it today? With a view to Wednesday, pick up the phone and let us know. And we are nowhere near done on reaction from Trophy Day at Celtic Park as well. So we'll speak to you next.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line 0141 951 1025.
What a day of football it's been. The final match day for the top half, certainly, of the Premiership. The bottom half play tomorrow. It's all confirmed really down there, or the big talking points are Dundee are down automatically, so it doesn't really matter what happens to them against Livingston. St Johnston will face Inverness Cali Thistle in the playoffs, so again, doesn't really matter what happens to them against Hibs. And Aberdeen against St Mirren, I guess just playing for places in the bottom six. Incidentally, we've had a lot on our minds, but quickly, what did you make of the fact that it is not the fairy tale of Arbroath and Inverness instead who will play St Johnston?
First of all, I thought the game very low in quality. Neither side deserved to win in regulation time or in extra time, and so it went to penalty kicks. And when the dream dies, that's the worst way for it to die, a penalty kick shootout. But credit to Billy Dodds and to Cali Thistle, two men sent off and they still got there in the end.
Yep, well done to old teammate of mine's Billy Dodds, because nobody could have probably predicted that. I know Inverness have had a decent season, but Arbroath, you're right, was a fairy tale. They've been by far the pick of the bunch out with Kilmarnock, and it was just a game, it's so poor, and Arbroath have only got themselves to blame, because like you said, a couple of men sent off, maybe unjustly, but Inverness came through.
Bit of breaking news at the bottom tonight, or this afternoon I should say, that Mark McGee will not stay on as Dundee manager. Does that surprise you?
No.
In any way?
No. I think it's been the massive gamble. I think everybody's looked at it. Gordon Strachan knows Mark McGee very well, thought the experience would help. It was an absolute disaster in the making, Gordon. It didn't work out for Mark McGee's. He's had jobs before and was successful. He's an experienced guy in football, but Dundee was certainly not the place. I don't think the fans were having it as well. So they've got life in the Championship next year, and it'll be interesting to see who will be the next manager.
Yep, so it's finalised at the bottom, it's finalised at the top. Celtic got their hands on the trophy. Let's hear from some of the standout players from this season. These are the thoughts of Cameron Carter-Vickers speaking to Sky Sports. I think there's even a question in here about whether he'll be a Celtic player next season.
I mean, it's hard to sum up, you know. It's been a special season, it's a special day for the boys and all the fans and our families, and we're loving every minute of it. You know, mathematically we were champions last weekend, but we wanted to come out today in front of our fans and put on a show for them, because they've been great for us throughout the season. I've enjoyed every minute of it. Like I said, from day one when I come in, the boys were great, the staff were great, the manager was great with me, and I've just been loving every minute.
Fans will want to know what happens next.
I'm just enjoying today at the moment, but we'll see.
We'll see. That's not the answer they wanted. No, Carb's close to the chest.
You know, Near Beaton's gone, Tom Rogic is gone. Is Carter Vickers going or staying? Likewise, Jota. These are the things that will have to be decided, and quickly. You need to create or to continue the positive atmosphere that has been created by Ange Postecoglou. And so Celtic have a very busy summer. I think the fans want Carter Vickers to stay. They want Jota to stay. They'll be disappointed if neither stays, or one goes and the other stays.
You could run through the list of Celtic players that have contributed in a meaningful way for a defence that was so heavily criticised last season, to now have Cameron Carter-Vickers in it. How impressed have you been?
Well, he's been incredible this year. To form a new partnership at the centre defence sometimes takes time, but of course he didn't have time when he came in. He had to hit the ground running, and he has. He's made that defence, that back line, solid. I think he's been an absolute standout in the league this season. It almost looks easy for him at times, you know. You very rarely see him breaking sweat. There's just something in me that tells me the Jota deal might be easier to get over the line than the Carter-Vickers deal, for some reason.
I agree with you. And I think,
what is that some reason then? Can I explain this?
I think probably Mark's looking at the attraction he'll be getting from England.
Why is that more than Jota? He's a match winner, an entertainer.
Yeah, but I think right now, looking at Celtic, looking at Joe Hart, that experienced goalkeeper, building from the back, I know Jota is a wonderful player and I'm not taking that away from him, but I think Carter-Vickers is more important for me, because I think what he does is, you look at Starfelt sometimes in games and he come in for a bit of criticism, he pulled him through the partnership, conceded 22 goals in the league, massive part of why they went on to be champions. He's at a great age. He's getting better week in, week out for me. As much as I think Celtic fans want the two of them, I totally agree with that. I just think that they've got to put the push the boat out for Carter Vickers. I think he's important.
Let's bring in Michael, who is a Celtic fan from Partick. What's your point for the panel tonight, Michael?
Hi guys, good afternoon. First of all, just an ecstatic Celtic fan who never expected to be in this this situation. I thought we were going to be like maybe a close second, or second would have been like improvement. I'm not having a go because I know you get put on at the very start and you get asked where we're going to finish and so forth. You had Aberdeen in second. I think we finished like 53 points ahead of Celtic, ahead of Aberdeen. So you've got like wrong and then you beat Hugh wrong. You know what I mean?
I don't even think you would argue with that.
No, of course not. What do I care though, Michael?
Michael, you missed a bit where he said he wrote the he wrote the prediction on a petrol receipt after a heavy week. That's his excuse. I don't know if you're buying it.
The red wine was obviously flowing that night, and I just think like no Celtic fan in the right mind thought we were going to win the league. So I do understand Hugh's point that we're going to finish, you know, like lower than first anyway. The change around Seren Aya, Christie, Edward, you know, these are important players for us last year. And to bring all these guys in, and they've hit the ground running, and Ange came in without any backroom staff. He's, you know, he's got Gavin Strachan, John Kennedy, Stevie Woods. You know, he's had all these guys, and he's put his faith in them, and he's faith in his own ability. I think this is all on Ange, really, to get the players playing again. Doggins was going to go to Qatar last year for $4.5 million. Look at how good he's been this year. You know, just I think Ange has been so underestimated, and we all done that. Even Celtic fans, we never knew this guy. And it's a hats off, a great thank you to this beautiful, lovely Australian guy who's made us champions again.
He was underestimated, but I think some time ago people altered their opinion of Ange Postecoglou when he won the Premier Sports Cup. Kyogo winning the cup for Celtic with two goals that day, it underlined Ange Postecoglou's judgment in bringing in Kyogo, his faith in him to be a star in Scotland as he was in Japan. And that was the point at which I think people began to think this guy is a turn. Not just Kyogo, but Ange Postecoglou. So it's all down to Ange Postecoglou. If you single-handedly rescue a club that was in disarray, disrepair, a support that was mutinous, had lost faith, then you're some manager.
Michael's right about the mention of the staff. I'm getting by himself, because somebody was on earlier comparing it to, you know, Martin O'Neill when he came in. He had a huge job to do, but Martin O'Neill had the luxury of bringing in John Robertson and a couple of others. Even look at Gordon Strachan when he came in, Gary Pendry and Jim Blythe came in with him, Brendan Rodgers, Chris Davies, and a whole host of other staff came in as well. Neil Lennon, when he took over, you know, he had his picky staff the first time around, that is. So for Postecoglou to come in from so far away, you know, and just walk into the building at Lennox Town himself, and he would have had to have the first few meetings just with staff, with Gavin Strachan and John Kennedy, Stephen McManus, and see the size of them, see if it's what he thought they would be, or what he was probably told they were. Very good coaches, even though the Celtic fans had a pop at them last season. And then convince them on the style of play. That's the thing that impresses me a lot, to actually convince your staff, to tell them what you want, for them to then carry it out on the training pitch. Usually takes a long, long time, but he only had weeks to get that right, and he had to put it, implement it when there was games going on. So there was things going wrong in games, and I think as a manager and a coach, it's quite easy to then rip that up and say, oh listen, we'll scrap it for this season. But he stuck by it, and that interview he did after that United game kind of highlights that he was prepared to stick by his methods and not even bring one staff member.
I think credit goes to staff, Mark. I really do, because he was in a situation, he walked in there, he could have easily emptied the staff room. There's no doubt about that. So he must have seen something in these guys very, very early on to say, yeah, this is the way I'm going to go forward. So it tells me that these guys are very good at their job. If you want to give Postecoglou all the pats in the back for his decisions in the transfer market and players and tactics, the one thing you've got to say as well, behind the scenes with his staff, he's got it bang on.
You don't hear many people mentioning laptop boy or iPad man. Whatever it was anymore, do you? So going a bit quiet.
Well, Ange Postecoglou said when he was addressing the crowd, he wanted to pay tribute to his terrific backroom staff. So clearly he's more than happy with Gavin Strachan, John Kennedy, Stevie Woods,
and their choice Stevie of laptops and iPads. Yeah. Michael, how did it feel to see Tom Rogic walking off the pitch in tears for the last time as a Celtic player?
You know, I think last year, not many Celtic fans would have been really that, you know, disappointed under Lennie. Just never get a chance or whatever. Again, that's under Ange, who's just like revitalised this guy. And what a season he's had. We'll always remember the goal he scored against Aberdeen for the quadruple treble. And yeah, it was tearful. It was a hard one to see. He's been a great servant. He's probably one of the most technically gifted players I've seen at Celtic. And all the best to him and Big Neil Beaton as well. Can I also say something? Mm-hmm. I've seen Mark and Gordon and Clyde Bank and Greggs were having a wee romantic steak mate, I think, one time. And I said, hello, how you doing? And Mark just walked right by me.
I don't mix with the public, Michael.
Unbelievable.
Michael,
Was this and why were we not invited here?
Well, I don't know, Michael, you know, he's a terrible man for having a go at people. Michael,
no, I think he's, are you joking? I think he's well entitled to this guy thinking he's above other people, not dead. Speaking to them.
I remember that. I remember going, you never spoke to one of our listeners who kindly phones in, keeps us in a job.
It's interesting because if I was to bet which one of you rubber-eared someone, my money would be in you.
Yeah, so was mine. Unfortunately, Michael must have been closer to me.
Anyway, Michael, the Smitty or the Dalton, which one?
Gracie's Bar in the Town.
Oh.
But you drink responsibly. I keep seeing it.
Deserting Partick.
Thank you to Michael. I mean, Tom Rogic, Mark. No secret, Celtic fans love him, love the contribution. But I really feel like his impact on Scottish football can be felt in the sense that any Rangers fan that's been honest is delighted that he's going.
Yeah, usually a sign.
Fans of other teams, rival teams, just probably all acknowledge that he's very good. He's never been the type to, you know, be unpopular with rival fans. He'll never have done anything controversial to annoy them or become a hate figure. He's just someone that most of Scottish football can say he's a very good footballer.
Yeah, well, we all watch football to be entertained, and we love watching good players. Sometimes you've got to hold your hands up to rival clubs and say this guy is exceptional. And just some of the moments, you know, his goals are one thing. He scored exceptional goals that have been rightly highlighted as goals of the season. He won it this year. But just some of his touches, some of his turns, you know, no other player in Scottish football has really came close to him in that respect, in that area, over the 9 years he's been here. So it'll be a big loss, not only Celtic, but just from a neutral point of view, watching a very good player at the top of his game.
I mean, Gordon, the tears that then had a knock-on effect. I think some of the Celtic fans felt it. And it was quite an emotional moment watching him come off.
Yeah, I didn't think he was that sort of guy, but obviously the occasion got to him, Gordon. I'm putting my hand up right away. I will sadly miss him because I love watching football. I love watching people with ability, and he's got bags of it. And he opened up games, and the amount of games that he won, sometimes you're looking at him thinking, well, he's not involved today. And for such a big lad, you know, just skipping by people, even this year, his goal up at Tannadice, absolutely brilliant. He's been a terrific player for Celtic.
This is not about saying Tom Rogic is better than other players, Mark, or is the best player. But Tom Rogic did, as they would say, Tom Rogic things. A very, very unique, almost like the type of guy that if you took the green and white hoops off, you would know who he was.
Yeah.
Just the way that he moved, the way he received the ball, the things that he did. There aren't many players up here that move that way and do what he does.
He just did things in games that you just thought were impossible. You'd look at him take a touch and the way he received the ball or a turn, and you go, I didn't even see that on. Or he's passing. I mean, he's passing something that's probably goes unnoticed a lot of the time because his goals overshadowed it. But some of the passes were outside of the boot, and you'd go, wow. I mean, I didn't even see that, and I'm watching it on the TV. But he had the ability to see it on the pitch and then execute it. So what a talented player. And, you know, we're lucky that we had him in this country for so long.
Thank you, Michael. Enjoy your evening. You think it was a big day for Tom Rogic, a big day for the Celtic fans, a big day for the Rangers youngsters. It was a big day for this as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Golden goals.
Right, remember that competition that we set up in January where we put money into a jackpot every time Celtic or Rangers score? Do you think the people that came up with the competition envisaged them scoring 9 between them on the final day of the league season?
No.
At £250 a pop, 6 for Celtic, 3 for Rangers. We now have, get this, 35,750 in cold hard cash for one person to win in 7 days' time. It's almost like the players knew that was what was at stake. You
and two games left.
Two games left indeed. Rangers go again midweek in Seville, and then of course in the Scottish Cup final. So we could very easily get over the 36 grand mark. I know you're listening right now and thinking, oh, I'll enter next week, or I never win these things. Do not live with that sense of regret. Seriously, text GOAL to 61025, G-O-A-L to 61025. It is £2 plus your standard message rate, over 18s only. And the full terms and online entry are at Clyde1.com. 1 week's time, 6pm Saturday the 21st of May, the lines close. You would be crazy to leave it even remotely close to then. Do it now. Text GOAL to 61025. Already over 35 grand, and that number will probably get bigger.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DLR here. We're into the final part of the show, and we are hoping, I think we will, we'll hear from Ange Postecoglou before we leave you this afternoon. So let's bring in Paul, who's a Celtic fan on the line. What stood out for you today, Paul? What's your point for the guys?
Hi, panel. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Obviously, very happy today in the season overall. My point for the day was, what was, I think myself, and I was wondering what the panel thought of Giakoumakis at the beginning of the season. Given the way Ayeteb started last season, he came in, scored a few goals, and we thought, oh, this guy's going to do some great things for Celtic, and then unfortunately just kind of fell by the wayside. Giakoumakis came in off the back of Kyogo, who hit the ground running. He was injured for most of the season. Turns it around, comes back, top goal scorer, perfect hat-trick, overhead kick, and a momentous goal in the last minute of the last game. Where do we see this guy? I mean, you know, where do we see this incredible turnaround, which I don't think I've ever seen before.
Yeah, it's a fair point. 17 goals in 29 games, Hugh Keevans, the joint top scorer in the Scottish Premiership this season.
The best thing about Giakoumakis is that he filled a considerable void when Kyogo Furuhashi had his injury, missed 4 months of the season, and Giakoumakis picked up the mantle. And his goals have contributed in a major way to the winning of the title. When he came at first, you wondered, is he injury prone? Then there was the penalty kick business against Livingston, where what should have been a win for Celtic ended up in a draw at home. But, as I say, when asked to replace Kyogo, he did, and he did it in such a way that he finished joint top scorer in the division. He can look back with immense pride on this season.
Well, that's it, Mark. He's probably surpassed just, oh, well done, you were able to stand in for Kyogo. He scored more league goals than Kyogo by one after Kyogo was taken off today. But, you know, he's been more than just a replacement.
Well, I think he's put himself in the frame to be the guy that could lead the line. And I don't mean Kyogo missing out next season. I think Celtic can play in a variety of ways now that Giakoumakis might go through the middle and Kyogo can play off the side. Great luxury for Ange Postecoglou to have, because he knows he can rely on him. Funny enough, I think a couple of his best games have been games that he's not scored in. I think his performances against Rangers, the one at home 3-0 was huge, and he had a couple of chances. McGregor was great in that night and he made a couple of good saves. But the one away at Ibrox, if you remember, how he was absolutely everywhere, and I think Celtic fans love to see that. You know, a real number nine who is aggressive and physical but does work in both boxes. You remember at the tail end of that game, he's in the 6-yard box clearing it, and you've seen at the full time whistle what it meant to him. So, you know, he's chipped in both boxes, but of course a striker at Celtic, always judged in the goals, and he's finished high up in the scoring charts.
Never doubt him. And I know that you can think I'm kidding on here. I always seen something in the guy, and I kept saying it, and I thought he would come good. It's easy now to back that up, but he's got a knack for me as a striker, just watching him be in the right position at the right time. And he started adding goals to his game. With that comes the confidence. With that comes the performances. He's been absolutely brilliant. And I agree with Mark. I think he's now claiming to say, you know, I want to be the the main focus here, because he does bring a different style of play if Celtic play with him as a focal point. But Kyogo can play in different positions as well. He's a big, big save for Celtic now.
It's the second half of the season, Paul, isn't it? Giakoumakis got to the 21st or the morning of the 22nd of January having scored once for Celtic. And since the 22nd of January to now, he's added 16 goals. It's been a brilliant end to the season for him, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And the question also stands, you know, not a question really. We wouldn't have been able to do it without him. Like you said, he had a difficult start. He had a mountain to climb. He now stands on top of that mountain, a champion, a part of the family. And I think a bit of pressure as well was going around number seven's top. But what a turnaround. And I think he's going to be absolutely fantastic next season. Can't wait to see what he'll pull off if he gets a full run at it.
It'll be very interesting to see a lot of them next season when they've had a proper pre-season with Celtic. Matt O'Reilly, Maeda, Hatate, you know, they will come back all the better for this experience, and they will have a proper close season and then pre-season with Ange Postecoglou.
Want to hear from Ange Postecoglou?
Why not?
It feels fitting to end the show hearing from the man who just got his hands on the Premiership trophy.
Describe to us what that was like as a day for you.
Nah. It is. It's hard. I'll try. It's hard to put into words because, you know, kind of everyone knows the story. We've worked so hard, and you know, we've had to sort of had a real narrow focus about what we were trying to achieve this year, not get distracted. And you know, when you've got that sort of tunnel vision, and then you finally get there. And to be fair, you know, we won it Wednesday night, but you got the sense even then the players and even the staff were, you know, it's still not job done. You know, we want to finish it off in the right way today. And you know, every week I challenge them, every game I said, look, let's make today's game our best game of the year. You know, it doesn't always happen, but you go in there with that intent, and it was the same today, you know. And so, you know, when I kind of think about, because they're human beings, they're not robots, the fact that, again, you know, this group, you know, produced a performance like that when, you know, for all intents and purposes, they didn't have to. It's just, I guess pride's the biggest thing, because you kind of get to this point and you look around at, you know, the joy it brings people, whether that's players, staff, people who work for the football club, our fans, and, you know, just take enormous pride out of it.
He gets Celtic. He has Celtic in the palm of his hand. He has the supporters in the palm of his hand. Today is Ange Postecoglou Day. Tomorrow, he'll make them bigger, better, because he never stops.
I mean, Mark Wilson even liked that. So I don't think he said that before. He challenges them at every game to go make that your best performance of the year. I know that might sound simple, but I don't know. It's just something you don't really hear very often. Quite a good way of looking at it. Why not? Why not this be the day that we put in the performance of the season?
You know what? I was impressed with that there, Gordon, as well, because I've sat in many dressing rooms, different teams. I've never really heard a manager or coach say that to me. You know, it's always about certain things in games. But he's right. You know, it's quite simple when you think it. Players should go out to make it their best performance of the season. And I think his players were pretty close to that this afternoon. In a game that was meaningless in terms of the results, the players still wanted to please their manager and sign off in the season. And I think that shows you what they think of him. They will run through a brick wall for this guy because of the way they treat him, and because of what he expects. And I think the Celtic fans can only expect even more to come next season.
It's what you call very good man management. I agree with Mark. I think if you're sitting in that dressing room, you're motivated with this guy, the way he goes about the business, the way he speaks. You know, you just want to go out there and play the best for him, and that's what they've achieved this year.
A big day today and big days to come, Hugh Keevans. Yeah. Sum it all up for us.
Well, today, the team who deserved to win the championship got the title, because 32 games in a row without defeat means that you are the kings of consistency. Celtic are the domestic champions. Rangers now go towards history. It is theirs to grasp, theirs to write a new chapter in the history books against Eintracht Frankfurt, Seville, Wednesday.
Congratulations again to Celtic getting their hands on the trophy this afternoon. That's the league pretty much done. The bottom six play tomorrow, but there's not much to be sorted out. A few different places can change. Whatever happens, we will look back on it on Monday, and at that point we will be 2 days away from Rangers, a Scottish club, in a European final. What a week it's going to be. Hugh Keevans will be back. Andy Halliday will be alongside him, so make sure you don't miss that. Monday night from 6, Grant Thompson up next, and then the GBX from 6 o'clock tonight.
One Super Scoreboard with Call Robert Accident Repair. They'll collect, repair, and deliver your vehicle, providing a hassle-free service.